Hello and welcome to the Monday, June 4th, 2012 edition of the SANS Internet Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Just as I got ready to record this podcast, I checked my inbox as I usually do, and what did I see? I saw an emergency patch from Microsoft. Yes, Microsoft released a patch on a Sunday night. The reason is that Microsoft figured out one of its certificate authorities was used to actually sign the malware known as Flame. At least components of this malware were validly signed using this certificate, which of course makes detection as malicious a lot harder. Now, the bulletin and the associated article by Microsoft doesn't go in a lot of detail what happened. They describe it as an unauthorized use, which could really be anything. They do not say that the certificate authority was compromised. Affected are three intermediate signing certificates. So these are the certificates that are typically used to actually sign the final product, the certificate that's then being used and distributed with the software. The patch will remove these intermediate certificates, so it will essentially blacklist them. There's no word from Microsoft also if any valid software used these certificates, and I assume because they don't refer to any valid software that was signed using these intermediate certificates, that these certificate authorities were used for fairly specific purposes. The association of the certificates with Flame will, of course, get the conspiracy theories going again, and I'm sure we'll hear a lot more about that during the next week. I do recommend that you do apply this patch as quickly as possible. But with that, let's move on to our usual diet of security news. VMware released version 1.0 of its hardening guide for vSphere 5.0. Now, VMware has released these hardening guides for prior versions of its product. The new thing in this version of the hardening guide for vSphere 5.0 is that it takes a very automated approach to actually verifying whether or not the controls are in place. So, for example, it does offer little scripts to verify whether or not you're actually applying these guides. As with all hardening guides, of course, you should apply them with caution and you should pick and choose which of these controls are appropriate for your environment. The script-based approach, of course, also allows you to then achieve some continuous monitoring of compliance with whatever standard you come up with based on VMware's recommendations. And Microsoft is getting some pressure from advertisers over its decision to enable Do Not Track by default in Internet Explorer 10. Now, Internet Explorer 10 is still in beta right now. Apple actually is taking a similar approach in Mountain Lion, another yet-to-be-released piece of software. It's interesting that the advertisers are pushing back, but not a big surprise. At this point, Do Not Track was sort of received okay by advertisers, in part because not too many users bother to enable it. If you remember, I had a diary last week that about, I think it was 3% or so of users going to the Internet Storm Center's website had it enabled. If Internet Explorer 10 will, of course, enable that by default, then we're talking about 10, 20, maybe 30% of users that will soon have Do Not Track enabled. And as a result, advertisers can't really implement Do Not Track with a straight face and still not lose a lot of data. And finally, an interesting study by the University of Cambridge in England. They obtained 70 million hashed passwords from Yahoo and used them to evaluate how difficult are these passwords to crack based on various demographic properties. What they found out was that it doesn't really matter, for example, whether or not a user has a credit card associated with the account. Users with credit card associated use as bad passwords as users that do not have a credit card associated. The only kind of meaningful differentiator that they could find was age. The older a person is, the more likely they're going to use a relatively strong password. On average, the passwords were very weak in this study because they only had encrypted passwords available. They did sort of measure the strength of the password in bits. 32 bits is what would be required to provide meaningful protection. However, most of the passwords, or the average strength, was less than 10 bits of security against an online attack and 20 bits for an offline attack. Anyway, this is it for today. So thanks again for listening. Don't forget to apply the Microsoft patch, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.